Kate Chopin, An Introduction. Catherine O'Flaherty was born on the 8th of February 1850 in St. Louis, Missouri, to parents of French and Irish descent. At age 5, she was sent to the Sacred Heart Academy, and apart from a 2-year period at home when her father died, remained there until graduating in 1868. Whilst there, she began writing and became an avid reader of almost anything that crossed her path. Kate married Oscar Chopin in 1870, and the couple moved to New Orleans, and later to the rural setting of Cloutierville, Louisiana, to raise their 6 children. In 1882, her husband died, leaving her in a deep trench of debt. Despite her best efforts to turn the businesses around, they were sold, and she moved the family back to St. Louis and the financial help of her mother. Sadly, her mother died within the year. Kate, now struggling with depression, pushed herself to write and gained a local reputation as a writer of short stories that captured the local colour and vibrancy of her surroundings. By the early 1890s, her short stories were published nationally. With this widespread audience, also came negative reviews, controversy, and cries of immorality, as themes such as interracial relationships, the rights of women, and other burning issues of the day were written about. Despite the criticism, which unnerved her, she continued to write, though in the main her works, around 100 short stories and 2 novels, were not attributed with any literary worth. Kate Chopin died from a brain hemorrhage in St. Louis, Missouri, on the 22nd of August 1904. She was 54. For much of the 20th century, her work was forgotten and out of print. It was only in early 1970s, with the rise of feminism and the call for a more just society, that she was given the status her works had long deserved and shone a literary light at. She is now safely revered as one of America's great authors.
Desiree's Baby by Kate Chopin. As the day was pleasant, Madame Valmondé drove over to La Brie to see Desiree and the baby. It made her laugh to think of Desiree with a baby. Why, it seemed but yesterday that Desiree was little more than a baby herself, when Monsieur, in riding through the gateway of Valmondé, had found her lying asleep in the shadow of the big stone pillar. The little one awoke in his arms and began to cry for Dada. That was as much as she could do or say. Some people thought she might have strayed there of her own accord, for she was of the toddling age. The prevailing belief was that she had been purposely left by a party of Texans whose canvas-covered wagon, late in the day, had crossed the ferry that Coton Maïs kept just below the plantation. In time, Madame Valmondé abandoned every speculation but the one that Desiree had been sent to her by a beneficent providence to be the child of her affection, seeing that she was without child of the flesh. For the girl grew to be beautiful and gentle, affectionate and sincere, the idol of Valmondé. It was no wonder, when she stood one day against the stone pillar in whose shadow she had lain asleep 18 years before, that Armand Aubigny, riding by and seeing her there, had fallen in love with her. That was the way all the Aubignys fell in love, as if struck by a pistol shot. The wonder was that he had not loved her before, for he had known her since his father brought him home from Paris, a boy of 8, after his mother died there. The passion that awoke in him that day when he saw her at the gate swept along like an avalanche, or like a prairie fire, or like anything that drives headlong over all obstacles. Monsieur Valmondé grew practical and wanted things well considered, that is, the girl's obscure origin. Armand looked into her eyes and did not care. Monsieur Valmondé grew practical and wanted things well considered, that is, the girl's obscure origin. Armand looked into her eyes and did not care.